It's small. It's much smaller than the other two that we've seen, but it is a song of glory and a song of peace. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. This one verse according to those two headings, a song of glory and a song of peace. It is, first of all, as I say, a song of glory. Glory to God in the highest. I think the angels are seeking to answer a question that has plagued mankind, that has been constantly on the mind of men from the very beginning. Who is God? What is this God like? How can we know Him? What can we know of Him? Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas, I'm sure you've at least heard of him. He was a monk in the Middle Ages. He answered this question, or at least sought to provide a kind of answer to this question of who is God or what is God. And he said that God is that than which nothing greater can be conceived. I realize it's kind of an awkward way of putting it, but basically what he's saying is that this God is something, someone, that we cannot imagine anything greater than He. He is so great, so magnificent, so glorious that there's no possible way of conceiving anything that is larger, more perfect than this God. This is the time of year, again, where we gather together as families. Perhaps you already have opened those presents on Christmas morning. Perhaps you have not. If you have not, maybe you're wondering even now, yes, maybe even now, what might be in those boxes, those brightly colored boxes under the tree. And you can imagine all kinds of things that might be underneath there. And when someone says to you that God is that which nothing greater can be conceived, you might say to yourself, well, I don't know, I can think of some pretty magnificent things. But as we start to think about who God is and how He has revealed Himself to us, this truth, as Thomas Aquinas has said it, comes into our minds. All the things of this earth are, well, not eternal, are they? All of them will wear out. All of them will pass away. Maybe you're young and you can't wait to open those toys because you're hoping that this one particular thing that you've wanted all your life, at least for the last 2 months, will be there. And I know it's Christmas, and I know I'm not supposed to say things like this, but the sad truth is that as wonderful as that toy may be, you're going to grow up. And you're not going to be playing with that toy for the rest of your life. Or maybe you're an adult and there's some other thing in there that you've wanted for some time and you've told people about it and you're hoping that it's there. But even that thing, even that glorious thing, it's not going to last forever. You may use it for the rest of your life, but you can't take it with you into death, can you? No, the things of this world are not eternal, but God is eternal. But imagine whatever else it might be that you could open on a day like this. Imagine it's one of those new robotic toys, right, that speaks back to you. They make toys, I mean, they did when our girls were little, that do all kinds of things, that pretend like they're real babies to the point where you want to give them back. And they're fun to play with. They're fun to imagine that you are holding a real baby, but it's not a real person. They frown on that sort of thing, right? Putting real people under trees. It's not real. You can't have a real relationship with those things under the tree. But God is not only eternal, He is a person. He's three persons. And you can have a real relationship with this God. He's not only real, He's not only eternal, He's not only a person, He is perfect in all His attributes. Perfectly good, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous. He is the sum of all perfections. There is nothing greater that you could possibly imagine than this God. He is that than which nothing greater can be conceived. But this idea of greatness, this idea even of glory as it comes to us in this song, it speaks to something deep within us. We humans love things that are greater than ourselves, do we not? We love nations, we love our nation. We love causes, we love movements, we love groups and clubs and all the rest. We love to belong to things. Sometimes we even seek to glorify ourselves, perhaps pretending even for a moment that we are bigger than we know ourselves to be. But this song is coming and reminding us that there is something greater than all that we can accomplish. There's something greater than all we can imagine, all that we can conjure up, all that we can wrap up and give to others. There is that than which nothing greater can be conceived. There is God. And so in one way, the angels are testifying to the existence of God, but also to the grandeur of this God, to His magnificence, His splendor, His power, His glory. This God is greater than all that can be imagined, conjured, or accomplished. That is their testimony to these shepherds, to the people of God, and to the whole world. And this is God's testimony even to us this morning. There is testimony in this song that there is something greater. There is something of infinite glory. That this God is greater than all things, anything that this world could offer up. This God is greater than any nation. Even this nation. He's greater than any cause, any movement, any club. Greater than any one person could ever be. Greater even than we sometimes imagine ourselves to be. All of us, I think, this morning know that longing. That longing for something great, something glorious, something magnificent. And maybe you're here this morning and you say to yourself, or if you were bolder, you might say to me, well, I've found that thing. I found it in my family. I found it in my career. I found it in retirement and playing with my grandchildren. But then all of these things, all the things of this world that we might enjoy, they do come with joy. They do come with happiness, but they also come with the reality that they are not going to last forever. They come sometimes with that gnawing fear that there is, in fact, something better just around the corner. And if you don't have that, just turn on your television, because the advertisers will remind you that the thing you have today is not what you really need. You need the thing that they are selling you. There's something else out there that you don't yet have. But if you're there this morning, if you're worried that the things that you have are not going to last forever, the things that you have are not the greatest, the best, the most magnificent, God is revealing Himself to us this morning and reminding us that something better does exist, something greater, something glorious. But there's more. It's not just that this great one, this glorious one exists. That's magnificent enough. But the message of the song is to remind us that this glorious one, this great one, has drawn near to us. We are to glorify God, and the angels sing glory to God in the highest, because the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is born in the city of David. Jesus has come. That is why glory is to God in the highest. The incarnation reminds us that God is not content to dwell in inapproachable light, where we cannot speak to Him, where we cannot draw near to Him, to be forever separated from us. God is not content with that reality. In the person of His Son, He is drawn near to us. Now, of course, throughout this whole, well, gospel for that matter, all of Luke, we are reminded that Jesus had to draw near to us. We could not approach God. We are sinners. We are justly deserving His wrath and displeasure. And if there was going to be any kind of salvation, any kind of redemption, it had to come from outside of us. It had to come from above. But not merely the truth that Jesus had to come and draw near to us, but the glorious reality that He has. That Christ has willingly taken on the form of a servant. That Christ has hidden His glory behind this flesh, humble flesh. That God would so love the world that He would send His Son to be born of a woman, to live under the law, to fulfill that law perfectly for us, and to die in our place. For 2,000 years, men and women, boys and girls have celebrated His coming. Oh, various ways. There hasn't always been Christmas the way that we celebrate it. But ever since He has come, ever since this day, there has been celebration at the coming of Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we're here, at least in part, to celebrate this morning? The coming of Christ, the appearing of the Lord of glory, coming as our Savior, coming as our Lord, coming as the Christ. It's a song of glory, but there's more to this anthem than just glory. See, the angels sing about the glory of God, the glory that is to God in the highest because He has sent His Son. But He also, these angels tell us what the coming of Christ means. It's a song of peace. The glory of God is paired with peace among men. Now, this second half is variously translated. If you have a newer translation, particularly like an ESV and I think maybe even the NIV, it translates it slightly different. And I think there's debates in all of this, but I think that the way in which particularly the ESV translates it gets better at what the angels are saying. Because the angels are saying that there is peace from God to those with whom God is well pleased. That the goodwill, the idea of God's good pleasure is placed upon particular people. And that's true then, as it's true now. That God looks down and chooses whom He will place this gracious gift upon them. And that is what the angels are praising, that peace has come down from heaven to earth, and God is even now distributing it out. God has sent His Son, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord, to secure peace, to secure shalom, to restore us to a right relationship with the One who's made us, to pardon all our iniquities, to adopt us as sons and heirs, to give us with Christ His riches, His glory, His love. God, who is greater than anything we can possibly conceive, has sent His own Son to secure a way for us to draw near to that greatness, to that marvelous glory. But even as we understand the reality that peace has come, we also see again in the way in which I think the better translation, we see to whom God is sending this peace. He is distributing it among men of His good pleasure. That is, those to whom God is pleased to reveal His Son. Now two quick things that I think are tied in with this, that we could go 100 other places in Scripture to verify this and to back this up, but it's here even as these angels are singing. We see, of course, that God is sovereign in salvation. There's no one on earth who could look up to heaven and say to God, "You owe me salvation. I deserve for you to send your son to come and die for me." There is no one who could ever say that. There is no one who could ever demand that God would save them. All of us are sinners. All of us are in need of peace, else there would be no need for God to send His Son to be peace. It's a great reminder that wherever and whenever God saves a sinner, there is an act of pure grace, of unmerited favor, as God reveals His Son. But we also, even in this, get a glimpse into the mind of our God through the pattern of the Incarnation. After all, to whom was God pleased first to reveal the coming of a Savior? Well, He tells Mary, a young, relatively poor woman, a Jew in a Roman world, that she, even before she's married, would be pregnant. He goes on then and tells a group of shepherds who were considered in their day to be the lowest of the low, to be untrustworthy witnesses. No one would believe the words of shepherds. In other words, God is reminding us that even as He sends His Son to whom it pleases Him to send that Son, He does not see the way the world sees. He does not send His Son to the powerful, to the mighty, to the wise of this earth. He reaches down to the lowest of the low, to those who are humble, yes, because of their circumstances. In other words, friends, He sends His Son to people like us. All of us in the eyes of God are lowly. All of us are sinners. All of us are in need of that salvation. Whom has God pleased to reveal His Son? Well, first to Mary, then to these shepherds, but then through the spread of His gospel, He is pleased to reveal His Son to the whole world. That all men, all women would come to know this Savior who is Christ the Lord. See, God wants us to, even as we look at this baby in the manger, He wants us to expand our understanding of what He's doing. It's not just the birth of Christ that is in view here. The whole of the Incarnation is what brings glory to God in the highest. From the birth of Christ to the death of Christ, from the resurrection of Christ to the exaltation of Christ to His soon return to put all things right. Not that easy, peaceful feeling that is so often peddled by our world as part of this holiday. But the peace with God that comes through the death of Jesus Christ. You see, the manger points to the cross, which points to the resurrection, which points to Pentecost, which begins the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so when the angels pronounce the arrival of peace, it is a message, it is a proclamation that is for the whole world. Any and all who will come to Christ in faith and repentance will know this peace. Everyone upon whom the Spirit of our Lord pours out regeneration and faith will know salvation, will be united with this Christ and will call Him Lord. But notice as well the connection that the angels make between these two things. With the coming of Christ, there is now peace, and so there is glory to God in the highest. You know, as we look out in the world, as we look out upon creation, Paul tells us that there's no one who sees this world who is not aware of the reality that there is a Creator. They may suppress that truth, but that truth remains. There is a Creator, and there is something about that Creator that is known through creation. His justice, His righteousness, the fact that He is eternal. But it's only in the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we see the fullness of His love. That we see the fullness of His goodness, of His grace and His mercy. You cannot see those things by looking at mountains or the ocean or a magnificent sunset. You only see those realities as you look to Jesus Christ. And so there in the manger in Bethlehem, the majesty on high is put on display for the whole world to see. This is a gracious God. This is a merciful God. He is willing to make peace with us through the sending of His Son. He is willing to forgive our sins by placing them upon His only Son as He hangs upon the cross for us. My friends, this is the meaning of Christmas. That we would know Jesus, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We would lift up our voices to praise God and to sing of His glory and the peace that Christ has secured for us. That we would give testimony to the glory of God in our words, in our thoughts, and in our actions, in the whole of our lives. Now, perhaps it's possible that you're here this morning and this is the first time you've ever heard these things. Maybe you're here because you're with family or a friend made you come. But if you're hearing this for the first time, will you not come to this Christ? Will you not put your faith in Him who was born so that He might die, so that you might live? Would you bow down in the presence of this majesty, this glory, and accept Jesus Christ and find peace with God? But maybe this is the 100th or perhaps the 1,000th time you've heard this truth. Will you allow this message, this truth of God, this praise of glory and peace to settle in your heart this day? To comfort you, to encourage you, to remind you of all that Jesus has done for you. Will you be transformed this morning more into the image of Christ by this peace, by this grace? This is a song for all the ages, for all time. It is a song that we will sing in glory forever and ever. Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is well pleased. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we praise You, we thank You this morning that You loved us enough to send Your Son, that You would make peace with us through the blood of the cross, that You would give us this marvelous gift, greater than anything else we could possibly conceive. Your Son, that we might have relationship with You, that we might know Your love, Your mercy, Your forgiveness, that we might know fellowship with You, we might enjoy communion with our triune God now and forevermore. Father, we pray that You would work those truths in our hearts this day, even as You remind us of all that You have done. Enable us to sing together, glory to You in the highest, for You have given peace on earth. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.